Welcome, travelers. We're aware that your journey was difficult, but prepare to have your questions answered, for you have been granted an audience with the Masters of Modern.
And welcome back to Masters of Modern. I'm your host, Alex Kessler, here with my co-host, Ben Bateman.
What's going on, gang? How's it going?
It's going good.
It's going sweet. This is a fun one.
Am I part of the gang?
You're part of the gang.
Sweet.
We have a really fun episode for you today. We had this fun conversation in the last few days that resulted in like the culmination of many comments we've made on the podcast, and now we're going to bring you this subject, which we will unveil in just 1 second.
Yeah, well, it's interesting, and we'll talk about it once we talk about things you guys should go do. Like, follow us on Twitter. We are at the MMcast. I'm at Kess Wiley.
I'm at Ben Bateman Media.
You should follow our sister podcast and on YouTube, because that's where, you know, you can find video versions of their podcast. They do actually, they have like a live camera, so you can see what Jimmy and Josh look like. That's the Command Zone.
Yep.
So if you find them, search the Command Zone on YouTube. You can also find us on YouTube. We are at the MMcast.
Are we?
No, we're not.
We're slash Top Decking TV.
I think that's what it is. We're slash. Search Masters of Modern Podcast on YouTube and you'll find us.
I think, though, actually less can even surprisingly than that, if you just go to youtube.com/topdeckingTV, I think that's us.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It is. You're right.
That's good. So, guys.
Beyond that, we have a Patreon. It helps us actually accomplish a lot of cool things. Like last week, we recorded the top 100 cards of Modern and it took us 5 hours, and we were able to do that with help of Patreon money because they helped us buy the cool microphone. We used the stream and they helped pay for the equipment that let us kind of accomplish that whole thing.
And the editor we asked to go.
The editor we do every week with do the videos. So yeah, so make sure to check all of that out. So today's episode is going to be pretty sweet. We're doing uncompleted cycles through history that wizards should complete.
Yeah, either uncompleted cycles or like cycles that should be created to like the flip side of maybe like an allied color thing. We're going to explain all of them.
Right.
They're all going to be, this is going to be a lot of like theorizing what we think they should be. Chances are we're going to end up seeing a lot of these cycles over the next few years. This is what Wizards likes to do.
What kind of spawned this conversation a little bit is we noticed over the last year, Wizards has actually done a pretty good job at completing a lot of these cycles, and even a little bit longer. If you all go all the way back to Khan's Block was very much themed around finishing all of the cycles they started in Shards Block, where you had charms and you had leaders to each faction, and you had extra leaders or other secondary things, versus kind of like where the old ones had gods versus leaders. So that was kind of cool. And then we got a werewolf legend, which fixed some of the Innistrad problems. We got the green-white legend that kind of fixed, the two colors that didn't get legends in Innistrad got pairs, up to and including both the enemy lands and the fast lands, completing those land cycles. So Wizards has done it.
We actually talked about the enemy fast lands recently before those were spoiled as part of Kaladesh. And the fact that they were then spoiled in Kaladesh was like, oh, yeah. There's like a file of, and I think I've heard Rosewater talk about this. There's sort of like a file of easy ones, like that everybody knows they will eventually do that they should do,
right?
That they kind of keep around. Oh, like would this be a good cycle to bring in the enemy fast lands, or like does this make sense to use the swords? Like that, you know what I mean? There's like those ones that everybody's like, where's the other bit of these, and why haven't they been done yet?
And we've definitely going over this have missed a few, but I think these are some wacky ones. Some of these are like low hanging fruit that I think Wizards definitely has in this file, and some of them are cool ideas because there's some cycles that I think are probably Wizards considers complete and maybe for power level reasons wouldn't want to make new ones.
Right.
But we may have a cool idea to accomplish that in a cool way.
So if anybody listens to this that thinks about designing cards, called shots.
Also, you know, this is probably the episode Wizards employees will listen to the least because we're going to be like coming up with cards and they can't hear them.
Yep. And guys, the last couple weeks I've talked about how possibly our playmats were almost sold out. I checked the stock. We have 4 left. There's a total of 4 playmats left in the first run.
They're at dmtwclothing.com. Yeah. Check it out. It'll be linked in the podcast.
Those guys are rad. Space. They have a great lifestyle brand that they do.
And make sure to subscribe on iTunes. We don't normally pitch that, and reviews on iTunes are important, so you should go review our podcast on iTunes.
Yep, absolutely.
Cool. All right, now, time for number 10. We're not doing a battle thing, we're just counting them down. Number 10 is the Lorwyn Tribal Lands.
Yeah,
there were 6 of these.
Yeah, and this is kind of a weird one because, see, this is what happened. Like, they made 5 that were, the ability here, guys, was, these were tribal lands. They were come into play tapped, multicolor lands that if you were to reveal a tribal card of the land's tribe, you could play the land untapped. So yeah,
There was
Wanderwine Hub, which is blue-white. That was for Merfolk. Right.
There was the red-white one, which was the giant one.
That was, I think, Ancient Amphitheater.
There was blue-black, which was the fairy one.
Oh, yeah, blue-black. Was called... I can't remember. There was red, black, which was Auntie's Hovel. Those mm-hmm. were goblins.
Red, green, black, which was the elf's one.
Yep. And that was Giltleaf Palace, I think.
I think those are the...
Yeah.
Green, white, white, red. See, I have written down the ones that they don't have, which is annoying.
and then there was the sort of honorary...
The three-color one, which was the tree folk one.
Which was Murmuring Bosk. And yes. it functions differently than the others.
Which is probably the... the best one of them, partly because it's the only tri-colored dual land because
you can also
fetch for it.
Also the only one because it's officially a forest. Mm-hmm. So it's a merfolk land, but it's also a forest. So it's like a.
It's the only tri-forest.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, the only one that is actually a forest that's also a tri-land.
Is it the only tri-color rare land?
Tri-color rare specifically.
I think it is.
Yeah, it might be.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember what the heck the blue-black one was called. Keep going, though. I'll go.
So there's five other ones. And each of those kind of... The way they worked is if you had a tribe in your hand, you could reveal it, and it comes into play untapped. Kind of how, like, the new recent Czech lands from Shadows over Innistrad block, you could reveal a plains or an island, and if you had blue-white land, and it could come into play untapped versus coming into play tapped.
Right. Secluded Glen, of course, because that's what Glen Jones is.
Right, yes.
That's the blue-black one.
So... Blue-green, green-white, white-black, blue-red, and red-green are all missing them.
Yeah,
and,
so this
and
is...
And I obviously think that blue-red needs to be the Noggle land. So whenever you can reveal the...
Why would blue-red be the Boggle land, though?
I said Noggle,
yeah.
And I meant Noggle, because Noggles were the red-blue horse people of Lorwyn and Shadowmoor.
Oh, got it.
Noggles are like a thing. They're like a unsupported tribe that only showed up once in Shadowmoor.
So I think that this is one of those strange cycles to me because the fact that
it's not color,
yeah. Well, the focus
weighted correctly.
So first of all, because there's red, white, and black, green in there, it's strange that there isn't another like that they didn't do 10 of
these.
Well,
it's also they're not leaned on. They're not like Return of Ravnica block. And Ravnica in general weighted the set so that colors were equally represented. So, or like allied versus enemy were, yeah, colors were equally represented. So, like, if
right,
you look
like
at.
We would have gotten the second half of these in, like, Morningtide, is what we
thought. No, not exactly. What I mean is, Return of Ravnica only had two guilds that were red, two guilds that were green, two guilds that were blue. So it kind of weighted the colors. These are not that. There are three blue lands, or like there are like more of one color
right.
than another color.
Well, and then also the fact that they made a tribal land for tree folk that was distinctly a different card than the other five is just another head scratcher. Like,
right. And it's black. Sorry, there's every single black color combination is represented in those
so,
lands.
So with that being
Lorwyn.
So let's just for a second, how would you even complete this cycle? Because you have to consider Murmuring Bosk part of the cycle, right? Or do you have to do five others and throw out Murmuring Bosk?
I think you throw out, for this conversation, throw out Murmuring Bosk. What you do is you go to a new tribal set, a set that is themed around tribes, and you have your five tribes, and each of them are, you have a blue-green tribe, a green-white tribe, a white-black tribe, a blue-red tribe, and a red-green tribe.
So, okay, red-green, we're going beasts, I'm assuming. That would make sense, right? Historically, that's what red-green is, or dragon.
Sure, for now, we can go with
dragon
that.
Or beast.
Cyclopses, minotaurs. Yeah.
Dragons, maybe, actually. That's red-green is pretty dragon-y.
I mean, yeah.
That was like
blue-red. Blue-red is elementals.
Yeah, I think so. Well, that's the thing, is that Morningtide had a bunch of lands that related to those colors. They just weren't duels. There was Primal Beyond that could cast the elementals for any color. There was the Kithkin land.
Sure. Yeah,
so,
yeah. White-black would be zombies.
Really? Black. I feel like zombies.
It's the only black option here. it's the only classic tribe that didn't. The only other one would be vampires. Actually, white, black, and vampires would be pretty cool.
Wait, makes way more sense.
I think white,
Sorin.
Black, vampires would be sweet. Green, white being
humans
yeah,
maybe?
Definitely humans.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure humans. Blue, green.
Is our elves like pretty much across the board black, green now? That's like.
They go back and forth, but black, green definitely seems to be more
and
where
there was already a black, green elf land.
Yeah.
Okay.
Blue, green.
Blue, green.
Merfolk. Oh, no, that exists.
Like
shark,
yeah,
people.
No, shark. Shark. What the heck was Shamble
shark? Crabs.
Yeah, wasn't he a fish shark or something?
He was a crab shark. He's got crab legs. Shambling.
Shamble shark.
Shamble
I thought
shark.
That he was called something sweeter than that. Like he's just a shark crab.
Lizards. Oh, snakes. It's snakes. Blue green is snakes.
Really?
Yeah, blue green snakes are the blue green color tribe. That's why there's a blue green snake lord in the commander product. It's snakes. All right. So cool. All right. Next
fish
thing.
Crab. That's what he is.
He's
a fish
crab.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, right, because there's no shark type.
Yeah.
Okay.
So blue-green would support fish crab.
Yes. Okay.
Oh, because, yeah, okay, keep going.
We're moving on. number 9, enemy Atogs.
Yeah, guys.
We didn't even realize this, but there's only been allied ATOGs and regular color ATOGs.
So history
lesson,
guys.
It's time for the enemy ones to come back.
History lesson. Antiquities, like the third, I think, or something like that, Magic expansion, way back in the day, like 94, had the original ATOG. One red, one colorless. You could sacrifice an artifact ATOG to get +2/+2 until end of turn, I think. He was an all-in card in the days when you would get swords and lose the game. You also had to get like tons of artifacts. He was then followed up with a cycle of ATOGs over like several sets. So you had the white one, which was Oratog. It was second enchantment. That was out of Tempest originally. You had like, I think, a black one called Necrotog out of maybe Weatherlight. The blue one was out of Visions. I think it was called Thaumatog, maybe. Chronotog.
Chronotog.
You could skip a turn, I think.
Yeah, you skip a turn.
To give him like +3/+3 is like the worst card ever printed. And then Foratog, I think one of Visions also. But these were all like pretty bad cards. So then in Odyssey, they decided to make a cycle of allied colored ATOGs. They were all 1/2s for 3 mana, the most famous of which was Psychotog, which is...
He wasn't really good, was he? I mean, he never won a tournament. He didn't dominate Magic single-handedly for 2 years, 3 years, 4 years.
Yeah, Psychotog was nuts, but there was allied colored...
He was the best creature of Magic before Tarmogoyf, right?
For a long time.
For like a wide margin?
Yeah.
Okay.
And they never made enemy colored ATOGs. All the ATOGs are the same. They all have two abilities, which is like they get +1/+1 until end of turn for doing something, whether it's like remove the top two cards of your library from the game, sack a land.
Phantatog is second enchantment, which is blue-white, or discard a card from your hand. Psychotog is discard a card from your hand or remove two cards in your graveyard from the game. There's actually each color has an ability and each ATOG has one of the two, but it's the same. So both black ATOGs have removed two cards from your graveyard.
Exactly.
But the red one has sacrifice an artifact, while the blue one has discard a hand. And then the blue-white one has discard a card from your hand and sacrifice an enchantment. And then the green-white one has sacrifice an enchantment or sacrifice a land. And then the red-green one has sacrifice a land or sacrifice.
So this is fun for design because you have crossover and redundancy, which is great. So if you wanted to do the same thing with enemy colored and have that same kind of deal where if they share a color, they share an ability, it means that you can build a deck with a little more redundancy, planning on doing one thing more consistently, which I like.
Sure.
I would love to see a cycle of enemy colored ATOGs. What I would like, though, is for them to be 1/1s without the colorless. I would like them to be 2-mana 1/1s that are blue-green, you know, black-green, black-white.
I feel like that's dangerous. I feel like I'd rather them be exactly the same in that regard.
I just don't think they would have any play. Maybe in Standard, but definitely not in Modern. They're just too weak.
That's what it does. If Psychotog was in Modern, it would see play.
Okay, but that's also the total anomaly out of that cycle. None of the others have ever been discussed.
Yeah,
so my,
we don't know the abilities you get the skip. Do you keep it so all of the abilities are the same? So red is still sacrifice an artifact, but you'll get sacrifice an artifact and discard a card from your hand?
No, I would change it.
Okay.
I think the red one that you would keep because it's the flavor of the original ATOG.
I
think if any of them had red, I think you would have sacrifice an artifact as the ability, but I don't think that's the only ability that would stay the same.
What, would you have sacrifice a planeswalker as one of them?
No, it's too much.
Okay. But these are all permanent types or card types. Like, what would you sacrifice? Sacrifice a token, maybe, for white instead of enchantment?
That could be fun. Yeah.
That's sweet. Yeah. I like that, where it's... Okay, cool. I think you keep blue, black, and red. And I think, actually, the one you change is the white one. I think sacrificing enchantment is weird.
Yeah.
And you make it tokens. I think we figured it out.
Yeah, I think sack a token seems cool. I also don't... I wouldn't mind I wouldn't mind if you, instead of sacking permanents, change the abilities entirely.
What about exile the top 10 cards of your library?
Yeah, like that. Well, I was going to say, I don't mind
black,
that.
Which is cool.
I don't mind, like, pay 2 life or pay 4 life or return a land to your hand, things like that. Like, I like those abilities.
Ooh, I like returning your lands. Yeah, there's some cool stuff.
I think you could change them. I think if they were 1/1s for 2 and the abilities weren't overwhelming, like return a land +2/+2 or something, that seems, like, totally reasonable to me. It's a 1/1. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, that seems fun to me.
All right, next one.
Yep.
So the next one, it's actually something they missed, and we know they missed in Innistrad. They did a good job of covering most of the bases, but there's two things, I think, that they didn't pull off. The first one, which you brought up, is the Innistrad Dark Ascension green-white Uncommon Lord.
Yeah, so this is one that I remember noticing during the set because I really like the design of the four, right? There was four uncommon 3-mana lords from the set. They were all allied colored. So you had the red-green was Immerwolf. He was the like werewolf lord thing. Werewolf get +1/+1. They can't flip back to humans.
Werewolves and wolves both get +1/+1, and wolves
and can't intimidate. Flip back to I think, human. Or maybe he just had intimidate.
He had intimidate.
The blue black one was Diagraph Captain. It was like he was a zombie.
All +1/+1, and if a zombie dies, either opponent or all opponents lose a life.
Yeah, I think he had Death Touch was his ability. Yeah. The black red one was the vampire one. It was he had Stromkirk Captain, yeah. And they all had +1/+1 in haste, maybe.
I don't know what they gave, but he had first strike.
Something like that. And then my favorite was the blue-white one, which is the spirits one.
They all get hexproof.
They all get +1/+1 hexproof, and he has flying. He's a flying 2/2/3. He's, I think, of that cycle. I think he's the sweetest one. But that cycle's never broken through and actually seen competitive play in Modern.
What's been always interesting to me is I've always thought that the green-red one would have made a really, really good legendary creature for werewolves. Like, everything he does is kind of cool for that. And the problem they had, and this is why I always complain about it, and we eventually got this legendary werewolf. We have it now. It exists. But I thought it could always been the silver wolfers or what? Silver? The wolfier is what they were, which was like the non-flip werewolves. There could have been a legendary wolfier. But moving on. So, the human one. It's the human one. Green-white never got one. That's for humans.
In the set, they messed around with a few different things. So you had Mayor of Avabrok originally got printed in Innistrad, but he was mono-green, and he was like a human lord
and
the front.
Werewolf lord.
And he's sweet, and he's two, so he's like sort of, he's not parallel to the others. You had Champion of Lamholt, which was like another sort of human lord for green-green one.
Correct.
And he did something similar, and he was she. I think it was a she, I think. And she was sweet. And then you had like a white one, I think, as well, right? A mono white one. We had Machias.
We had the white one where creatures would come into play and they would get bigger. Machias was part of the legendary creature cycle that they actually did.
Yeah.
Sigarda, the new Sigarda, is their green-white lord for humans. Yeah. That's why it has a human ability.
The one I'm forgetting is like, it's like a two drop in white that like when it comes into play or when they, something like that. But anyway, the point is there's no green-white for three that's a 2/2 with an ability that's parallel to the cycle, which they should have printed because that the design space is so simple there.
They tried doing a thing where Dark Ascension excluded humans from, like, both Dark Ascension and Innistrad kind of did cycles where the monsters got something and the humans kind of didn't.
Right, it was like the humans against everybody.
And then the last set of the cycle had it so, like, black was basically separated from everyone, which actually brings me to the other one that I think is in this category, which is the Mist cards and cycles, is the black white legendary angel.
Are we switching? So we're not gonna talk about what we think the green white one should be first?
No, the same number, so we can go back and forth.
Okay, got it.
But the black white angel, so this showed up in a story, the original Avacyn Shadows Over Innistrad story, where they discuss the fact that there's the red white angel, the blue white angel, and the green white angel. Bruna, Gisela, and Sigarda. Bruna and Gisela are now Brazilla. One of the most horrifying cards I've ever seen.
It's like slang for Bridezilla.
Yep. but there was actually originally a black-white one, and Avacyn killed her.
Got it.
But there was like heavy hints that this character could maybe come back, and she never did, and I would love to see that black-white angel represented. And maybe next time we come down to Innistrad. But back to the green-white legendary it's human. It needs to be human.
This is what you were saying, right? So
I think it gives all humans lifelink.
Something. I mean, it could
or
be.
Or should have lifelink. Oh, because it's like.
It could be human. Here's the thing. This is why I don't think you need to make it human. Because the first thing is, for the purpose of story, if you were going to do it, you would have printed it in the story, right? But you didn't. So this means that if you're going to make this card would be printed in some sort of supplemental product. Maybe this would come in Conspiracy or a Plane Chase product, Commander perhaps, right? Something like that.
There's two ways to do it. I think the problem is they didn't want to reprint the other part of the cycle in Innistrad. So what you would do is in a Commander product where each of the sets had one of the four different Innistrad lords, you would give one a new one, and it would be the green-white one.
So what I'm saying is I don't think you need to make it necessarily human because human got these weird sort of lords. So what I'm saying is you could decide, okay, think about this. What is the tribe in history, in Magic, that exists that doesn't have this card that would benefit from having it that is green-white? You could do an elf lord, which I think would be cool.
Elves don't need more lords.
Yeah, true.
So if we're going to do that, if it's not going to be humans, it has to be a monster tribe.
It was wolves.
Wolves got Immerwolf. Yeah, Immerwolf literally says wolves on it.
I was thinking Watch Wolf. That's sweet. What about, like...
It has to be a monster. It can't be, like, that's the point of the rest of the four cards, and you'd have to pick basically what's the green-white monster. And it doesn't have to be...
What about elemental?
No.
Why? Elementals come in all shapes and sizes.
They're not white.
What's the voice There's of Resurgence? What's the voice of Resurgence?
There's white elementals.
What's the voice of Resurgence?
He's an elemental?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, but they're not monsters. They're just like ethereal beings of elements.
I just made that up. I don't know if that's actually the case. I think it is, though. It's an elemental. You could totally have it be an elemental lord.
Why?
I just think it's sweet.
Be human. Okay, let's move on. All right, moving on to the next one.
Yep.
And this was actually something brought up by a Twitter follower ahead of time, so I'm going to tell you his name. But this is the Thornling, Torchling, Morphling, Black-White cards. So for those who don't know, the other best creature in Magic before Tarmogoyf was Morphling. And this is a card that was two blue, two colorless for a... Something, a two,
like so a 3/3,
3/3 that it had the abilities of for one colorless, you can give it +1/-1. For one colorless, you can give it -1/+1. You could then also blink it out of play and into play.
It cost 5. It was a 3/3. Okay. For one, you could untap it. For one blue, you could untap it. For one blue, it gains flying. For one blue, it gains shroud till end of turn. And then for a colorless, it could either get +1/-1, or for colors, it could either get -1/+1. By old standards, it's like super sick. By today's standards, it's like,
well, there was the big morphling in standard that got reprinted in Dragon's Maze, and it like dominated. It was like a very, very, very good card in
control
standard.
Finisher.
It just wasn't, you know, it's never seen play in modern, and the green one was morphling, and morphling.
You mean Thornling?
Thornling, sorry. And Thornling was actually the first mythic I ever opened.
Well, yeah, so Thornling, and the thing is with Torchling, which is the red one, Torchling is just a color-shifted version of Morphling. It's the same card.
No, they have different abilities. So, like, Thornling is...
Oh, you're right. It's not... I thought it was color-shifted, but it's not. Yeah, yeah. So you could change the target. Yeah. Okay. So it's also sweet.
Read
but
what it does.
It's red, 3 for a 3/3. Untap it for 1 red. 1 red, target creature blocks Torchling this turn if able. 1 red, change the target of target spell that targets only Torchling, and colorless, same two abilities as Morphling with the +1.
Yeah, it has like a, not that doesn't have evasion, that has kind of evasion for everyone else. It has the same pumping ability, it has a protecting itself ability, and then it has a kind of a combat-y, enters the battlefield kind of thing. Thornling is green, 3 colorless. For green, Thornling gains haste. Green, Thornling gains trample. Green Thornling is indestructible, and then +1/-1/+1. So the thing about these cards is after Thornling, they've never printed a black or a white one. Part of it is that red, green, and blue are the elemental colors. They are the most inherently elementally.
Yeah, but that's not even true. Elementals.
Whites have a ton of elementals. So blacks are the least elemental color.
Every single color has had decent. It's why the elemental land from Morningtide, from Morningtide was an elemental five color land.
And then there's the elemental legendary creature from that
five
set.
Color
that,
as
the travel
well.
Legendary. Yeah. So
the white one would probably be Lifelink, I'm guessing.
It gained Lifelink. I would think it would blink itself.
It would be called Lifelink though, right?
Oh, Lifelink. Yeah. Does it have Lifelink?
Yeah.
That makes sense. I think Lifelink on a Lifelink.
Untap.
Lifelink
and
Deathlink.
+1/-1. Yeah, Lifelink, Deathlink.
Yeah.
Those seem like easy to print.
Yeah. Lifelink, it would gain Lifelink, it would gain Vigilance, and it would gain, what's a way to protect that's really white? Did Morphling blinked itself, right? No, it gained Hexproof, or Shroud.
Shroud.
So I think it would blink itself. It would take kind of what the ability that the bigger Morphling got. So it would exile itself and then return itself to the battlefield at the end of the turn.
Yeah.
And then black would be Death Touch, Menace.
Yeah, I could see that, but how would it protect itself?
Maybe have like the regenerate, but they actually got rid of regenerate, so that's no longer a thing.
Yeah, it would have to be like
return itself from the graveyard. If it enters the battle graveyard this turn, return it into play tapped.
Something like that, maybe with persist or something.
Well, no, it wouldn't be the word persist because I mean it would have to come back. Or that's cool. I'm down with that. Yeah. I think like I like the idea, or like what's reassembling skeletons ability?
Oh, you can return it to the battlefield for 2.
Yeah, or like if something died this turn, you can return to the battlefield for 2. Something like along those lines.
That's cool.
Yeah, I like that. All right, cool. We did it. Sweet. I'd be super down for that cycle. It doesn't have to be those abilities, but it'd be cool to see that cycle.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea.
All right, next, number 6. The Battlelands. Enemy card Battlelands. So for those who don't
pretty
know,
straightforward,
Tangle Lands, Battlelands, Buddy Lands, there's a lot of names, but they basically went, they're the second ever printed or third printed dual lands. They're only were enemy ones or allied ones. They were printed in Battle for Zendikar block.
When we say dual lands, what we mean is they
forest mountain.
They have the dual types, so they're searchable with things that search up keyword forest, mountain, island, plains, swamp.
Right. The ones I'm actually most excited for are red, blue, specifically.
Yeah.
Because something that I one of the reasons I think Titan Shift has become so popular is they get the red green one. So they're, because the point of that deck is you need as many mountains as possible for Valakut, and because Titan Shift gets now 8 dual land mountain forests, it makes sense to just be red green straight up. I think getting the Soul Cycle would be really cool. It offers their different ways that different decks could use them would be really interesting.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I mean, I think, I mean, the bottom line is at a certain point, they're just going to keep printing more and more enemy colored duels to match, to start to match up to the allied colored duels. And
correct.
For formats like the ones we like to play, like Highlander, that's really fun to have. In Modern, it's mana bases are such a strange thing in Modern, and we're going to do an episode on mana bases sooner than later. But the thing about Modern mana bases is like, they're very stock. They're very homogenous. Like you get a very consistent look, give or take 4 or 5 cards in most mana bases. Unless
this is, I mean, we had an entire episode about this, but one of my problems with Blood Moon is I think it enforces the mana base has to be fetch land and the shock land. You get very punished if you try playing with the check lands or the buddy lands or anything else.
Yeah.
I think on the land of finishing those cycles, the Signet lands are another one that kind of would be kind of interesting because
the Odyssey ones.
The Odyssey ones. We've been going through a lot of the different lands that they haven't completed yet, and they've actually done really well in the last like 3 years of completing these cycles. For Modern.
Yeah.
Those who don't know, the Signet lands were in Odyssey, and
they
basically had the exact ability of the Ravnica Signets, which is
tap a colorless and tap the land, and you could tap them to produce one each of the allied color.
Right.
So they're like the Signets. They're similar in some ways to filter lands, the Shadowmoor filter lands.
Kind of like the granddaddy of filter lands.
Yeah, they're not as good though. The big difference there being that if you start
do two colors of the same type become much harder to play.
They're not strictly worse because with the filter lands, if you open the game with a filter land and like say a Ghost Quarter, you're screwed.
Or if you open with two filter lands, you can't like playing multiple filter lands is bad.
It's the same deal that if you open the game with two of the Odyssey lands, you're screwed because they don't produce anything.
Oh,
unless,
true, that's fair.
But you can open the game with say like
a ghost quarter
and a filter land and still get colored mana.
Cool. All right, so. Next thing, number 5. This is an interesting one because I always knew about one, and I kind of just was reminded about the other. The Return to Ravnica Mist cycles, those of the Can't Be Countered cycle, and the X spell cycle. So for those who don't know, in original Return to Ravnica, each of the guilds in RTR, so is it Golgari, Rakdos, Selesnya, and Azorius all got a can't be countered spell. Some of these are the most powerful spells. Like almost every one of these is a like playable card in Modern.
It locks it on Smiter, which was sweet and green white. So 4/4 for 3 that had like the anti Liliana ability. You had Supreme Verdict, which was an uncounterable wrath for white, blue, and a colorless.
Yeah, one of the three best wrats in the format.
Legitimately four, good. You had Slaughter Games, which was basically Lobotomy, but black,
can't
red, uncounterable.
Yep. Seen a chunk of play in the format.
You had Counterflux, which is the blue-red. It's blue-blue-red. Counter-target spell, can't be countered.
Has seen less play in Modern, but when Storm was a Tier 1 deck, was a big player in the format.
And also...
because they had Overload.
And also Scapeshift decks play it as their... when they
on turn 7. Yeah, it's definitely a sideboard card in the format.
And then we're forgetting the last one. So green, white.
Abrupt Decay, the most important one.
Oh, yeah. Decay, black, green. Which for the
top 10 cards
of
the
show,
format.
You probably know Abrupt Decay.
Yep.
How high was Abrupt Decay for us in our top 100?
It was top 10.
Oh, it was a top 10?
Yeah. I think it was 10 or 9.
9,
yeah.
Maybe.
All right. So those are those. So, but then we got to Gatecrash and none. Not a single card from the cycle was also completed in the other half. So I'd be really interested to see a blue-black uncounterable like Mill Spell or something along those lines, or a green-red one, or that whole cycle kind of could be completed, which would be really interesting.
They did a weird thing by splitting up the guilds. Where like you don't get parallel colors.
It's not enemy and ally. It's RTR versus Gatecrash guild combinations, which is interesting.
Yeah.
The other spell cycle, and this was a bigger one because it's literally every color combination has one but green white. It's the X spell cycle. So every color combination gets one of these things, and it's green black got Gaze of Granite, which is the like pseudo what's the enchantment from back in the day? It's an enchantment comes to play, you pay X and all enchantments.
Oh, you're talking about the green black one, the original one, Pernicious Deed.
It's green. Yeah. It's an X spell version of Pernicious Deed. You have the white red one, which was Aurelia's Fury, which is the, it has silence fireball.
Yep.
You have the blue green one, which is biomass, which is all X creature. All your creatures are target, X target creatures become XX, which is equal to X.
I think it's just all your creatures become XX. Right?
Okay. Yeah. It's probably all. That makes sense. Red green, which is Clan Defiance, which is, you do X damage to target creature and or target player.
Yeah. I think it's actually three abilities. It's target creature with flying, target creature without flying,
yeah, and,
target
and
player. And I think you get to do it to two of them.
Okay. Pick two. Yeah, that makes sense.
I think it's something like that.
Blue-red, which is Epic Experiment, which is...
That was the only one.
You pay
of them.
X
I think that was the only
get...
one that saw significant play, right?
Clan Defiance?
No. The last one you just said. Epic Experiment. Saw.
Right. No. We'll get there. Epic Experiment. Seen some Storm play. Blue-black, which is Mind Grind, which is just mill until they hit X lands, I think is what it is. Red black, which saw a chunk of play, which is Rakdos Return.
Oh sure. Oh if, yeah, I know we're going more than yeah.
And then black white, which was reanimate X, all creatures in your graveyard equal to converted mana cost X.
Immortal Servitude,
which is really sweet. And then blue white,
which is Sphinx's Revelation,
which is the one that saw the most play. Notice that there's no green white one.
Weird.
That it's so interesting how they and I like the thing from Wizards is it's not a cycle. They didn't mean it to be. They just happened to make an X spell in every color. Because there are some colors that have more. Red-green has a X red-green Hydra creature.
Yeah.
That's kind of an X spell. Blue-green also has an uncommon blue-green X. Just gets
Nimbus
plus one
Swimmer.
Calories. Yeah, Nimbus Swimmer. So there's some other X spells in the format. But for every single color to get this and then just kind of whiff on that one thing is very interesting. That's one of the ones that I'm I want to see a green white. Just it, and it's kind of interesting because the can't be countered ones definitely can happen.
Yeah.
I don't know if we'll ever get the X spell one.
Yeah.
Because it only works if you're on. Actually, if we ever go back to Ravnica, I would hope they would do just a mythic rare green white X spell and just not really have another rare gold colored X spell.
Yeah.
Just to kind of be we get it here.
Have yep.
All right, number four. This is a big one. This is really a big four. And it's the Future Sight lands.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so we talked about this a bunch last week on the top 100 because... So in Future Sight, they printed five allied colored lands, each one with a different ability to kind of reflect that there was possibilities in the future. And of that cycle, the only one that has seen a full cycle was Graven Cairns, which was the black-red filter land that eventually between Shadowmoor and Eventide got a full cycle of 10. Now, the other four, two of them have seen very significant modern play. One is Horizon Canopy, which is green-white. Tap to add green or white and take one
life. Yeah, pay
and
one life.
You can tap it in a colorless to sacrifice it, draw a card, which I think is really powerful. And if it was available in every color, I think it would be a little too much. Green red, which is Grove of the Burn Willows, which is the most played modern one, and that's tap to add green or white, or sorry,
green
tap,
or red.
Green or red, your opponent gains one life. Tap
or,
to add a colorless.
Yep. And I would say Horizon Canopy sees play in a higher variety of decks,
but it's not a four of.
It's normally a four of. Most decks play it as a four of.
Well, Grove's $80, and Horizon Canopy is $35, right?
No, they're it's $50.
Oh,
they're
really?
Both expensive.
Okay.
It's actually Horizon Canopy currently at 77 and
Holy
Grove
moly.
Is at 63.
That's crazy.
So Grove is less expensive. Mind you, it had a from the vault printing. Grove is just a part of a tier one. It's the main way Tron functions, and it's also the main way Eldrazi decks work. So they both see play. The one that's seen the most play after that is mostly because on the back of Fairies, and that's River of Tears, which is add blue mana to your mana pool, and basically it has Landfall. This land now adds black instead. I was really surprised we didn't get this on, we got the Battle for Zendikar lands instead of this. That my, one of my shot calls that I was just wrong on was I said
River
this
of
would
Tears.
Be, River of Tears cycle would be the battle, the return to Zendikar.
Would have made perfect sense.
Yeah, because it has Landfall. Its ability is, and maybe the reason they didn't want to retcon this to have Landfall, but it really, it's an ability that, literally it's a land that says, I said it, produce this color mana, Landfall, produce this color mana. So that'd be cool. And that one, I think, is completely fine to print in Standard. I could see this being printed. And the last one, but not least, kind of it's the least, is Nimbus Maze. And that's tap to add one colorless, add white if you have a island, and add blue if you have a plains.
Yeah, so this one is fine. I mean, again, I think you could make the cycle for all of these lands. I don't think any one of them is, beat you over the head powerful.
I think Grove might be too powerful, and I think Horizon Canopy is, on the bubble.
Yeah, I mean, Canopy's the one... See, Grove to me is that's a powerful mana-fixing ability. So it is what it is. I mean, it's
basically a come into play untapped. It's like a dual land, and I think the drawback on target player gains life is not significant. Like the only color this would be bad in is like red white.
Yeah,
and even then you play it in red white blue decks, and it's just really good. Horizon Canopy comes with a real cost. Like a blue white Horizon Canopy is going to be cool because you could sack at the draw card, but like that life loss in a blue white control-y deck, which would be what it would do in standard, is significant. Like
if you had more than four of that ability and you could make your opponent gain life with that consistency, do you think that the Kabu Predator, Timely Reinforcements, and Survival Cache deck would like become a thing very quickly? Do you even know what I'm talking about?
I know what one of those cards is.
Kabu Predator? No.
No.
Kabu Predator was the 2/2 for green and a colorless from Planar Chaos that whenever your opponent gained life, put that many +1/+1 counters on him.
Okay.
So he was sweet with Fiery Justice, I think, because you could have your opponent gain 5 life as opposed to paying its mana cost and then sweep up to 5 damage to creatures your opponent's control, which means you could make him a 7/7 for free.
Okay.
That was a standard thing. But I mean, if you had 8 lands that could make your opponents gain life, plus Survival Cache, which triggers if your opponent has more life, plus Timely, which triggers if your opponent has more life.
Yeah, I know. The one I recognized was Timely Reinforcements.
I'm not saying that would be dominant, but like it doesn't seem bad if you can guarantee that you're always going to be able to cast those cards for cash. Like,
yeah, I don't hate it. I think the issue with the gain life ones aren't as much for Modern because the card is banned, but especially if they go into enemies, like, I think a red white and a blue red one are very dangerous in Legacy alongside, which we're not, you know, who cares? Because Legacy is not what Wizards really thinks about when cards come out. But with alongside the Punishing Fire is like blue red with a blue red with Punishing Fire of this card is insane and should never be printed or like should never be a thing I want to deal with.
Yep, 100%.
All right. So of these, which one do you think is the most likely?
Of the Future Sight cycles, which one will we see?
Mm-hmm. I can't pick Graven cards.
No. I think the one that we would most likely see would honestly be probably Nimbus Maze. It's just
really? I feel like River of Tears is...
River of Tears, the only thing with River of Tears, I'll say, every one of the other lands to me has like a fairly easy pattern of play. For whatever reason, when I try to remember River of Tears, I can never remember which one you have to have, and I'm constantly finding myself like, have I played a land this
messing
turn or not?
It up.
It's just one of those.
It's like weirdly a complicated board state.
It's a complicated
problem.
Board state. It's the card is worded strangely. It's a lot of like forgetting that you need to wait to play your land before casting a spell. It's fine, but it's like not a good enough land for me to feel like that's justified. So I kind of think Nimbus Maze is simpler and kind of at a similar power level. But I think that if you were going to choose one of the powerful ones, I would love to see Horizon Canopy in every color. Like it's a land that I like having.
I would love a red green one of these, partly because aggro loam is a thing, and like
I just think it's sweet
cool.
Being able to sack your lands to draw cards. It's awesome.
Next on the list, and we only got 3 left. Number 3, the enemy commands and slightly slash the enemy elder dragons. So this is the cards that we wish there were enemy versions of from Dragons of Tarkir.
Don't care very much about the dragons, not because I don't think they're cool cards. They are. They're sweet. I just don't ever play them in any format. But the commands, on the other hand, oh man, the commands, this is probably the thing on the entire list that I would be the most excited to see. I love commands. I love commands. Like Call Against Command is one of my favorite cards ever. Oh God, is it command and like Simic command? Especially if those blue ones cost 3 or less mana,
which they won't. They would do a thing where they're like, "All right, these can't be as good as Cryptic Command." Still,
they would give us. I mean, okay, of the ones we just saw, the multicolor commands, mm-hmm. I would say Kolaghan's command is amazing. Mm-hmm. I would say that Atarka's command is pretty darn good. I would say Dromoka's command is really good. It's not as played in Modern, but it's a really good card.
Dominate
I would say
standard.
Yep. Ojutai's command is really good. Card's really good.
I mean, the blue-black one saw the least play. I can go with that rating system.
Blue-black is not particularly great to me, but it's a powerful card. It just costs 5. That's the only thing, is that with the commands, because they're instant speed, the cheaper they get, even if the effects are kind of nominal, that's just how much more powerful they get. So I would love to see if one of the blue ones was like 2 mana. Like if we had like Simic was like 2 mana and you had Izzet was 3 mana.
I think Izzet would be, I like Izzet being 4 and like Prophetic Bolt would be an ability. or like you know, discard cards, draw cards, do damage equal to how many cards are in someone's hand.
Yeah.
And like do X damage to a creature and counter a instant spell.
All of them. Black white would be so sick.
Black
white would have like
an edict effect, a raise dead effect.
Yeah.
Black white would cost like 5, but it would raise dead, or it would like either reanimate or raise dead.
I think it would reanimate.
Yeah. That's at 5, it would reanimate. Drain 2. 2 damage to gain 2 life. Or like it would have a drain ability of do 2 damage, gain X life, and a sack effect.
I think it would have Thoughtseize on it.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Thoughtseize, reanimate. Oh, you know what? It would probably just have target player discards a card. It would have the Colligan's Command discard. Because you could target yourself to reanimate, and then that'd be cool.
Yeah, and then maybe it would have like swords on it.
This is really powerful. It would have to be 6 mana.
Yeah, but I think for black white that's fine. It's like
it would have an edict, not swords.
It's like an Orzhov.
It'd be too good with.
It's like an Orzhov swords. Control Finisher. I mean, that card seems awesome. And then black green, I don't know what black green would do really.
Actually, I like black green is the raise deads gets you a card creature.
Yeah, that makes.
Oh,
sense.
That's what black red does.
And it probably makes a 3, like probably makes like a 3/3. It's like probably a 4.
I like green being the 4/1 not vindicates, but pops a thing. These are way too powerful. We're like, gains you 30 life.
Do you think it would make like a 2/2? Would the green black make like a 2/2 wolf or something?
No, I think the green blue one does tokens.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. Well, none of them have made a token before, right?
The green blue one, if it costs 2, cannot make you a 2/2. A flash 2/2 that also does something. Yeah. A flash 2/2 that also bounces something would be like my favorite card ever printed.
Yep, I agree.
He's so sick.
Green black could mill you X and then return a card from your graveyard, like Eternal
that
Witness.
That seems good, yeah.
And like do those two effects separately and then probably gain life equal to how many lands are in your graveyard or something along those lines. And then I like that one, Thoughtseize the opponent, maybe. I don't know. It's cool. I'm down. There's no way like to print a command just like coming up with things without them sounding just ridiculously overpowered.
Yep. All right. What do we got next?
All right.
I just want to talk about the dragons for a second.
Oh, yeah, dragons. I mean, the point is that originally Wizards was going to make the dragon, elder dragons that we saw, enemy colored.
Yep.
And then the way the draft format kind of ended up working, it didn't work out how they wanted it to. Because the way cons drafted was you basically, because you're on a wedge, you pick an enemy color, you stick to it, and then that eventually builds into a wedge in the second pack. But then when they got to Dragons of Darkeir, they didn't want the draft format to just be enemy colors, so they switched it to ally colors, and they made it so you didn't get enemy-colored dragons. So I'd want to see those enemy-colored dragons. To the extent that, like, I'd be interested to see if they already kind of did some work at making those enemy dragons, so it's kind of one of the things I'd love to see.
Yeah.
It'd be cool. That one I could definitely see coming out in a Commander product, which doesn't help Modern, but 5 enemy-colored, 2-color Elder Dragons.
Yeah.
Be sweet.
Sure. Let's keep it going.
I don't know what plane they'd be on. Non-Tarkir. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
All right, number 2. This is another twofer. These are the really powerful cycles that red got left out. This is the red tutor and the red 2-drop.
So the red tutor, this is the single card, I think, on the entire list. If we're going to talk about one card that I'm like, why hasn't this ever been printed? And that's that originally, back in Visions, right? It was Visions? Pretty sure it was Visions. Each of the colors got a 1-mana instant speed tutor that put the card on top of your library. Blue was Mystical Tutor. Black was famously Vampiric Tutor. White is Enlightened Tutor, which is probably the one I've used the most. And green was Worldly Tutor, which is weirdly the only one of the 4 that's never seen a foil printing. Even with Eternal Masters, they didn't give us a foil Worldly Tutor. I don't know what that's about. But there was never a red one. This is one of those strange things.
Well, so here's the thing. And we did get a foil one in Eternal Masters, is we got Gamble. So Gamble is kind of the unofficial official one. And
Gamble is a sorcery that looks for any card, and then you discard a card at random.
It does net you card disadvantage for a tutor. It just doesn't put it on top of your library. It puts it into...
I think you would rename this Goblin Tutor. It would be 1 red. It'd be an instant. You would flash play it, and then you would put a card from your hand randomly on top of your library. That's what I think this card would be. I think that's how that card works.
Yeah, but then you just draw it. Like, I guess... Okay.
Yeah.
Because the other one's just draw it.
I mean, is it any card? No. It's got to be something. Maybe it's a Planeswalker, or... Does red search for Planeswalkers? No.
Well, the only card type that currently doesn't have a tutor for is Planeswalker. So red could do tutor for a Planeswalker. I could do Planeswalker or land.
Land, right? Because there's
just be land.
None of the original ones search for land.
Yeah, yeah.
Why would Red search for land or Planeswalker?
Like, no reason.
What if Red searched for a mountain or Planeswalker?
So that would be interesting, but weird.
You could get, like, a duel or a Planeswalker.
Sure. Interesting. You're looking for, like, it's like an anti-loneliness theme.
Something.
The Wizards did, actually, there was a really cool Doug Bayer, that was his name, I'm not sure, Tumblr post where he talked about how, you know, one of the things about Red is, like, most of Red cards are, like, anger, and Red's supposed to be the emotion color, and so they wanted to try making ways for Red to show more emotions than just anger, which is the only one they really normally get.
Right.
And the new card that we definitely will be talking about in our review of the next set is the discard two cards, draw three cards. Which is like an insane card. But it's they've decided to make that kind of discard more about like dealing with hard emotions and like, and that's like Chandra hugging her mom for the first time. Both of them thought they were dead. Deal with that whole emotional moment.
I don't know what you're talking about. No,
Chandra's
I'm kidding.
Chandra, they both thought the other one died.
Yeah.
Then they like went however long between baby Chandra and now.
Sure.
And then now they saw each other for the first time. She's like a card in the new set that we'll probably talk. We might talk about her.
Yeah.
Maybe. All right. So those are the red. Oh, and the other one is the red two drop. We talk about this all the time. Sometimes people think that it's young Pyromancer, but he's not a rare. And
sometimes
hasn't
people
been
think
dominating.
It's Eidolon of Great Revel, but that's.
But he's too red, and he's in. And instead of a red and a colorless, if he was a red and a colorless, he would just be it.
Yeah.
Like, without anyone really questioning it.
And then,
we still don't have it.
And we still, and I mean, the prowess card, the 2-1 for 2.
Yeah, he has seen no modern play.
I know. But he's like, if you talk about what these cards do, he generates card advantage. He's a 2-1 for 2. He's aggressive. He's like, he's a rare. Like, he feels like he's that card.
But he's not.
Yeah, but that just means that because
there are other white 1 drops, white 2 drops that, like, do those things you just said, but aren't Stoneforge Mystic. There are other blue 2 drops that are like.
So you're saying by power level, he has to match.
Yeah.
I just think that like red
is. If anything, power level is the most important thing on that.
Red is just less played, so it's like it has to be insanity.
It's
otherwise,
not
people
less
just
played.
It's just late played for Lightning Bolt.
The two of the most played color combinations in Modern are blue, red, and Jund.
Yeah, all right, keep going.
And Tron, who is also red-green.
Yeah, but like, all right, let's just keep going.
And Scapeshift, which is red-green.
Yeah, but you're talking about like the same cards that show up in all those decks for the most part. It's just Lightning Bolt and a whole bunch of
decks. Tron and Scapeshift or Titan Shift do not play. I mean, Titan Shift plays Lightning Bolt, I guess.
Okay, Through the Breach obviously is a powerful card. I'll give you that. I will give you that Through the Breach is very good.
What about Unburial Rites? Not Unburial Rites. Faithless Looting.
All right. Let's just, I mean, I hear you. I just don't think that, I think you would have to make the red one very, very strong. Red is.
Oh, yeah, no, it's a mistake. These four cards should never have, none of them should have been printed.
Yeah.
They're all mistakes.
They're all so sweet, though.
Snapcast Image, Dominated Standard, probably a mistake. Should have been red. Stoneforge Mystic, 100% banned in Standard.
Unbelievable card.
Tarmogoyf. Last minute added a plus on the toughness that should not have been there, making it a giant, like 100% the best creature in Magic, which
Dark
means
Confidant.
It was a mistake. Dark Confidant is probably the safest one on these four.
Yeah.
Of those four.
Still really good.
And
though.
Still like never going to be reprinted in Standard again. Too powerful.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. One more.
What's the last cycle?
This is not rated in any way based on like any qualifications. This is pretty much the order we thought of stuff. Number one, Allied Swords.
Oh yeah. This is a fan favorite. This is we have the five.
No, this is definitely the sweetest.
Originally there was Sword of Light and Shadow, Sword of Fire and Ice.
That's it.
They were the first two were from Darksteel.
Yep.
I still think Fire and Ice is the most powerful. A lot of people argue Feast and Famine is the more powerful, but I still think Fire and Ice is the most powerful. Draw a card, 2 damage. The protection colors are not as good.
Fire and Ice is, yeah.
It's really good.
I mean, the protection colors are really good.
Yeah.
Lightning Bolt and blue-red having protection. Like, the problem with green-black in Modern is that the colors you're getting protection from are the colors that have abrupt decay, who can enter the sword all day, any day, whenever they feel like it.
Right.
Versus red-blue, which you bring that in against, you know, any of the red-blue deck, like Splinter Twin decks, like, they have a problem dealing with that card.
Yeah, card's good. So then you got the three others that were printed in Scars of Mirrodin block. Sort of Body and Mind, sort of Feast and Famine, sort of War and Peace. And I think of the five, Body and Mind has seen the least play, though it seems
Body and Mind saw a chunk of play in Legacy, interesting enough.
Because of the mill ability, right?
No, because it had protection from Jace and Tarmogoyf.
Oh, sure.
The two most important things that protection from on a creature it had, so it saw play. And making a token every turn means there's always someone to pick up that sword and run with it.
War and Peace was sweet and standard because it was a standard where you could play like Birds of Paradise, like these big green decks where like you would play bird into sword.
It was also an era where red and white were the best two removal colors. So having those protections was really important.
Yep.
So
we've never seen allied colored swords.
And from Wizards' perspective, they have said they're done. Maybe if they come to a point where they think it's, first off, these swords are way too powerful. First standard, that power set that was locked in was created during an era where they didn't know how equipment worked. So it's like very unlikely, like they would want to break it if they were going to print it again. And then that kind of leaves away what the cycle is. And second, they've kind of walked away from protection.
So you have a sweet idea.
I want allied colored vehicles.
Vehicle swords.
Well, there wouldn't be swords, but we'd have to bring protection back, but they've said they'd bring it back.
They wouldn't be like giant flying Megatrons. Like flying sword, like transformer guns.
Like we had equipment.
Yeah.
Those were the swords. So I want like vehicles. And I don't know what theme they would be. Motorcycles?
Right. Yeah.
Is a motorcycle the sword of the vehicle world? I could say that.
Have we like had boats? I guess we haven't really had like motorcycles in Magic, right?
I think there's a motorcycle in the vehicles.
I mean, prior to that, like we hadn't had any plane, like any of the metallic planes where like a character was riding a motorcycle.
There's got to be like a low rider, like. So maybe I'm just thinking of that comic book character.
I guess cars.
The red firehead.
Are cars not a thing that have existed in the history
of Magic?
There's
been carriages.
Carriages.
There are vehicles. There's been airships and carriages and
airships.
Stuff. Yeah, yeah.
Carriages, but I'm talking like just car looking things.
Well, now we have them.
Yeah, I just was surprising that in 20 years they had never come up with like a plane that had cars and motorcycles. That's crazy.
Yeah, so it's time. Ally colored motorcycles. Let's do it.
Yeah,
I think it'd be sweet. I think, the vehicles have protection from those colors. You don't give it to the creatures, so that makes them weaker. Or vice versa, maybe you give the creatures protection and you can kind of use them to protect it. I don't know. Whatever is less powerful.
Hmm.
And then when that vehicle hits a player, you get the double trigger. You get a blue and a white spell where you do those things. You get a red, which I think there'd be cool ones. Like red, I think, could get... Like a red-blue one could, or not, sorry, a red-green one could be, you can put a land from your hand into play and tap an opponent's land.
Hmm.
That seems sweet.
That seems cool.
Or a red-black could be, just do some stuff that I don't want to come up with right now.
I think the vehicle cycle sounds really cool. I think it's a fun way to match you could change the power level a little bit, but I think that crewing things is going to be fun and Magic.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm really interested to see how they play, and I'm really interested to see if crew becomes, and we'll talk about this next week, but if crew becomes evergreen.
Because we're going
to
do our set review next week.
Yeah, we are.
So that pretty much does it for the 10. I mean, there was a few other things we thought of, but we'll bring them up maybe in another episode. Perhaps we'll do a part two of this eventually if there are a bunch that come up that we realize we forgot. And aside from that, you guys should let us know what you think. If we missed one that you guys loved, or you saw an opportunity, the ones we were really interested in were ones like the red tutor, where it's that, or the green white X-Spell, where it's clearly the one missing. And it's just like, how has that never been printed? And we were trying to come up with them, but we just figured that there's probably a couple we missed. So, share with us on Twitter at the MMCast. You can tag me at Ben Bateman Media.
I am at Kes Wiley.
Be sure to check out everything from our Patreon that helps us keep the show alive to the Command Zone on YouTube, our sister podcast, Jimmy and Josh do great stuff, and we're on Facebook. So, that pretty much does it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Thanks for listening, guys. We'll see you next week for our official Kaladesh set review.
Yeah.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thank you for your attention. See you later, alligator.